So it's our May 2016 session. And I was just saying to the ladies who are here that I'm not sure exactly what direction we're going tonight, but I know who he is, so I'm trusting him with this. I have some things jotted down, but I have three different directions to go. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Holy Spirit has in mind tonight as well. And since we started in January, we've really been talking about whether we want a convenient Jesus or a covenant Jesus. And we culminated last session, Psalm 91. And we saw a progression there from being snatched out by the seat of our pants and rescued when we have absolutely nothing to do with it, to having a way of escape provided for us where we have a provision made. God makes a way of escape, but where we have to take it and come out of our captivity and walk with Him in the Spirit to come out, that's something we have to participate in. We're partners with Him in that deliverance. These are the three Hebrew words in the 91st Psalm. Each one is translated deliver in English, but they're three different words, and it's a progression. And that the third one that we found right down toward the bottom of the 91st Psalm is to equip you for the fight, or to equip you for battle. And that we're equating to warrior. We also watched the war room at the beginning of our year. And for those of you who are listening in a way besides right here with us in person, all of the sessions have been uploaded now, and you can go back and catch up if you've missed anything. So that's a blessing. We have a church website, and that is Thomasville World Outreach Center, all one strung together word in lowercase letters, .net. And on that website, you can get the sermons or messages from Sunday mornings with Pete, Sunday nights with Pete, and also Women of the Word has a an area there where you can click in and listen to what we're doing. So that's wonderful. And we thank Annette for that, because she's made that happen. That's her ministry, and she is fulfilling it in the Lord. So we're grateful for that. It helps us increase His kingdom, increase His territory. So as we ended last time in thinking about the warrior, that's where I thought I would be going this time. And it may be. But the thing that I want to start with tonight, you know, is count the cost. Because convenient Jesus is at your disposal. He's your spare tire. When you get in trouble, you call on Him. You know, He's merciful, and He'll answer that. And He's very patient with us as we progress. And, you know, if we'll be honest before the Lord tonight, and I want us all to do that, I think we would all admit there are areas in our life where we're still weak and too weak to escape. So we have to be snatched out still in some areas. There are areas in our life when we clearly see the way of escape that He's made for us. We understand that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, it doesn't say He'll remove the temptation. As long as we're in this body, there will be temptations. Scripture even tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Himself was tempted in all points, just like we are, because He was in a human body, yet He was without sin. So God will, with the temptation, also make the way of escape. He makes the way of escape, but we have to take it. That's our responsibility. And in some areas where there have been kingdoms in our heart, we've grown up and matured enough to make those right choices and take the way of escape. And then there are those areas where we're strong in the faith. Every time. Where you can't tell me it's not going to work, because I know it will. You're too late to convince me that it won't. I'm fully persuaded in that area because I've seen God do it time and time and time again, and He never fails. So my confidence at that level is the confidence of a warrior. Now, I wish I could tell you I'm a warrior 100% of every day. I know that's possible. And I'm pressing toward that mark, and I know you are too. That's why you're here tonight. I haven't arrived, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And I do understand, this was one of our scriptures last time, Romans 8:29, that it is my destiny. It's a predetermined thing that I be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ once I'm born again. So God's all for me on that. The more I look like Jesus, the better I represent Jesus, the more His kingdom is seen in earth as it is in heaven, the better it goes. So we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, who is Jesus. That's our destiny. And warrior, escaper, or snatched out one, is still your destiny, okay? Because if God has the mercy to snatch us out of a situation, praise Him and let's keep going. If we have the strength to walk ourselves out of a cell where He's opened the doors and said, you're free, come on out. You know, Peter was in the boat. He said, I need a miracle. Hey, Jesus, if that's you, because it could be a ghost, if that's you, tell me to come out there with you. And Jesus said something that He says all the time, because He's invitational. He's not imposing. He will not impose His will on us. He said, come. One word. He couldn't deny it. Peter said, if that's you, tell me to come. So what else could Jesus say but come? Now, He's saying, come. Matthew 11, I want to say. Let's look it up. I think it's 11:28, something like that. Listen to this invitation. And y'all, if we go into scriptures we've already talked about, I may or may not remember it, but does everybody in here get it on the first round except me? Okay, good. But I'm in good company. God has to tell me things a lot, sometimes over and over and over again before He gets through my thick skull. I'm looking for come unto me. What did I say? 11:28. Is that right? Okay. Woohoo! Matthew 11:28. Come to me. I want you to take this as a personal invitation tonight. I don't know where you are, but there can be some hard places. And we're not just running in here one night a month to have a bless me party. You know, we're so celebration oriented. And that's wonderful. I celebrate. I love the worship music. I love it all. I celebrate Jesus. But I don't want to get so celebrate minded that I forget what I'm here for. So, it's a serious thing to declare yourself a warrior for the kingdom of God. But you have to declare it. Jesus says, come. He had a man say to Him one time, I want to follow you. Where do you live? Where do you stay? Jesus said, you want to see? Well, come on. Now, the scripture tells me He didn't have a place to lay His head. Do you really want to see? Then He said, come on and follow me. It'll cost you everything, and it'll give you everything. It'll cost you your self-life, and it'll give you the fullest life and most abundant life you can possibly imagine. Because you'll realize it's not about you anymore anyway. And that's a happy place to live. Because when it's not about me, then I can get over myself. You know, a lot of people haven't done that yet. They just can't get over themselves enough to think about somebody else. And we're not going to be critical, and I don't intend to sound that way, but it's irresponsible to think about yourself all the time. And it doesn't do you any good. Jesus said, what good does it do you to worry? Can you change anything by worrying? And really, when we worry, and we may get into the scripture in a little bit, this is one that I read earlier, last week. If I talk to the Lord about a thing and I have a concern about it, it's good to talk to Him about it. But then I'm supposed to cast it off. Because if I keep carrying concerns, I'll be overwhelmed one day when you see me. I won't be able to get out from under my own stuff long enough to help you at all. And I don't want to live there. And we've all been there. So there's this secret place that we learned about last time. His name is Jesus. And He's in us, and we're in Him. It's what He prayed for in John 17. It's recorded. His prayer's recorded there. And I know Jesus always prayed the will of the Father. So I know the Father always heard His prayers. And He always got the thing that He asked for. And this is what He asked for. Father, that they would be so one with Me, that they would know that they're one with You, just as much as I'm one with You. And that they would know that You love them just as much as You love Me. And I don't pray for these just standing around Me, He said, but for all those down through the centuries who will believe on these who are standing around Me by their word, by their documentation, by their lifestyle, by their demonstration in the Spirit, because the gospel would go forward. But y'all, just weeks before Jesus was going to the cross, the disciples were still asking questions about things they should have known. But we can't be hard on them. You know, I've thought before, man, if I could have just walked with Jesus and seen some of those things. He said, come on. Come. You want to walk? Come. But there were people who saw everything He did and didn't believe. And that was nothing new. The Israelites saw God part a Red Sea, a raging sea, and take them over on dry land, walk them across with the enemy hot on their heels, swallow their enemy up in the same raging sea that He used to deliver them to the other side. And the first thing that happened was they didn't have the water they needed. And their first response was murmuring and complaining and griping at the leadership and saying, let's get us a new leader and let's just go back to Egypt. We've been better off to die there. What did you do, Moses? Bring us out here in the desert to die? So we can't be too hard on anybody else. In fact, if you think about it, we're really in a much better place because Jesus said, blessed are the ones who believe, having not seen. That's where we get to live. We're on this side, the victory side of the cross. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. Because where we are makes all the difference. Now, we're going to study some warriors because I just think that would be an honorable thing to do. We're going to look at Caleb and we're going to look at Joshua. Those two stand out in my mind, and David. But you do understand they were natural warriors. They had to fight natural battles. Israel had to fight natural enemies. And the first scripture I want to read to you tonight is about how we don't do that. Because there's nothing about the fight that we fight that is natural. The only natural part of it is that we're in a body. And if we let the body rule, we lose the fight. Because the weapons that we have been given in our military enlistment are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not fleshly. They're not earthly. They are spirit weapons. And they're mighty weapons. And they're effective weapons. And Jesus tells us all about some of those weapons, and so do a lot of other scriptures. So we're going to study some men who had a warrior spirit about them. But you have to remember, when we're studying in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, even all the way up through Jesus' ministry, the law was still in effect in His ministry. And of course, before Moses, there wasn't a law. So when you go back before Him, like with Abraham, with the battles he fought, that was natural battles. But they were all under the old covenant, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Natural type, extrinsic, external boundaries, if you will, principles. Principles are still in operation. But our mode of operation is different now. You know, David whacked off Goliath's head. We don't do that anymore. We go to prison if we do something like that. But the principle is the same. So we're going to study warriors because we have to develop a warrior mentality. And y'all, if we're not careful, we fail at that. Because it's a disciplined mentality. And it's a one with the king mentality. And there's so many opinions and so many reports and so many theories and so many contradictions and perversities, really, in the earth that we live in the current time that we live in. Not that there weren't in olden times, because they were there too. But there's so many things to shout in our face. You surely don't believe that. Look around you. Read this report. It says you have such and such and such and such. Get on the internet and read what that does to you. Let a few people tell you what that does to you. Let some doctor, and we've made them almost like gods. And I'm not bashing doctors. Please don't misunderstand me. But I will tell you this. You can walk into an office and have a man or a woman give you a report. And 99% of Christians believe the report. It's just a man. I know he's got machines. I know they have reports. They can give you natural information. And I'm not saying the natural information is all wrong or inaccurate either. What I'm saying is there's a greater truth, and that's where the warriors of God live. It's called walking in the Spirit or living by faith. That's a discipline. Because an evil report can rock you off your props. And I'm not saying we never get rocked. I'm saying we get up and we get the higher report in front of our face and in our heart and in our mouth. That's what warriors do. So let's look at some scriptures tonight and see where the Lord wants to take us with this. The first thing that that I want to read with you, first thing I want to do is find where I wrote some things down. Here it is. Now, we're thinking about a warrior mentality, okay? A warrior mentality is absolutely necessary. Excuse me. Heather, where did I put my notes? You always could keep up with me. Did I drop more? One? Well, I have more, so I'll trust that I'll find them. The first place I want to go then is 2 Corinthians 10. When we were at Hasty and Heather was my right arm, I could lose something in 3 square feet. Dana knows this too, because she was my left arm. And they could walk right in and usually find it. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. And I will tell you this, you're probably not going to hear anything tonight that you haven't heard before in the way of scripture reading. But I know you'll hear some things you haven't heard before in the way of what the Lord has to share with you. Because that's just the way the Holy Spirit is. He knows what we need tonight. And that's why I'm not worried about this. And I know this looks kind of scattered, but that's okay. I'm not worried about that either. Because He's not scattered. He knows exactly who's here. He's known it since the last time we were here, that y'all would be here. And He knows what you need. And I'm just simple enough to trust Him to deliver it, because I know I can't. But I'm a willing vessel. So let's listen. Now remember, we're talking about warriors in the spirit, not in the flesh. A warrior spirit. So we're counting the cost, and we understand, first off, that a warrior is absolutely loyal to his general and his king. Okay? That's a warrior mentality. No traitors. Nobody with undermining aspirations themselves. A submitted warrior. Submitted to the king. So here's the warrior mentality for us. Who's our king? Jesus is our king. He's the king of a kingdom. And we as warriors in Christ are absolutely loyal to that kingdom above every other kingdom. There are many kingdoms in this world. Jesus said that. In fact, Satan tempted him with that in the wilderness. He said, "You see all these kingdoms? I'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "It's written, you will worship the Lord your God with all your heart, and no other one will you worship." But Satan showed him the kingdoms and offered them to Jesus, and it constituted a temptation, because the scripture tells us that he was tempted in the wilderness, and he came out full of the Holy Spirit. He countered Satan with the word, which is what we do, and Satan left him for a season. He resisted Satan with the word of God, and that's what we do. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh," and flesh here just means body, and we'll pull up, and then if you don't mind, let's pull up the interlinear, because there's some words that I'm going to go ahead and tell you meanings of, but I want you to be able to see what I'm talking about. We don't have to stop and tarry over those, because I'm just going to say them, but I always want you to know where we're coming from when we teach, that we can go into the Greek, in this case, or into the Hebrew of the Old Testament, and find out exact meanings of words, so that we'll know we're on course within the context of what we're teaching. So he says, though we walk in the flesh or the body, that's what we're talking about. We walk around in a body. We do not war according to the flesh. Now, that statement alone would change a lot of behavior if we would take it to heart. And that word war there literally means to serve in a military campaign. So as a warrior in Jesus, a warrior in Christ, a spirit warrior, you are enlisted in a military campaign. You need to know that. You're on a mission, and it's not about self. It's about the kingdom of God, and the king of that kingdom is Jesus. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and that's who we are loyally submitted to. As warriors, not double-minded, not in one day and out the other. This is a life commitment. You go in for life if you go in as a warrior. For the weapons, and that word means tools, or especially offensive weapons for war. The weapons of our warfare, or our military service, are not carnal. That is, they're not pertaining to the flesh. They're not of the body. They're not of anything temporary or natural. So any time we retaliate out of our body with a fleshly response, we're not being a spiritual warrior. We could be being a contentious woman. We can give somebody a piece of our mind. But you want to be careful doing too much of that. You keep giving those pieces away and you'll wind up on the short end of the stick. That isn't God, and you know it isn't God. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You know that to retaliate in the flesh or out of your body, whether it's with your words or your body language, or for some people it's with a fist, a literal fight. You know that's not God. And where it gets guys in trouble lots of times is a physical fight. But where most women get snagged and girls get snagged is their mouth. These words that we speak, fighting words, contentious words, hurtful words, that's not God. And spirit warriors don't fight that way. Okay? Because you lose. And spirit warriors, Jesus said, I know you've heard them say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Give it back to them the way they gave it to you. But I say, turn the other cheek. And I got to thinking about that one day. I thought, hell now, you know, turn the other cheek. And some of you heard me share this because I feel like the Lord gave me an answer on that. I said, how do you do that? You know, if I get smacked one time, that's on me. But how do I turn my other cheek to let that happen a second time? And this is the thought that came back to me, and I believe it's the Lord's guidance on this. Jesus isn't talking about subjecting yourself to abuse. Hit me again, I deserve it. No. That's sick. That's not even valuing who you are in Christ. Jesus is talking about turn the cheek of a warrior the second time. And when I got that, I thought, I see. First time you hit me in the flesh. But if you hit me again, you're going to hit me in the spirit because I'm going to turn the warrior cheek. Now, the warrior cheek is God's. So when you smack me again, and I'm not talking natural now, you go deeper than that. Don't think I'm talking about somebody slapping you around. We're not talking carnal. We're talking spirit. When you hit me the second time, you just hit God. Because I turned my warrior cheek. I didn't retaliate in the natural. I didn't retaliate in the flesh. I didn't let flesh rise up against the knowledge I have of God. I turned the other cheek the way Jesus did. And when I did that, you hit God. Now, that's between you and Him now. I'm clear. You see that? That's a deeper place. And you say, I can't do that. I can't forgive like that. I can't get past all that. Yes, you can. You can't do it in your strength. But remember, we're not talking about our strength tonight. We're talking about warrior strength that comes out of the Spirit of God. And what is greater in power than the Spirit of God? Nothing. And what is higher than the name of Jesus that we bear and have authority to operate with in earth and use? No name's greater than that. I don't care what they call that disease. I don't care who that person says he is or what his title is or her title is. I don't care what you name it. If it has a name, and most things do, then I know the name that's higher. Now, the warrior is loyal to that name that's above every name. And it requires, y'all, I'm not talking to you tonight alone. I'm talking to me too. Because this is where I want to live. I want to do what we just studied about. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to dwell there. Jesus said, abide in me. I'll produce fruit out of you. You'll be the branch. I'll be the vine. Abide in me. If you're disconnected from me, you can't do anything anyway. Stay with me, he said. Marry me. Come be one with me. Be intimate with me. It's a very different mentality. It's a very different mentality. And it'll cost you your life, your self life. Not your physical life. Remember, we're not talking natural. But I'm going to tell you, it's the richest, most abundant place we could ever live. When Jesus said, the thief comes, this is John 10:10, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his mode of operation. Now, God gets credit for a lot of what Satan does, unfortunately, or discredited with it. But that's a pretty clear delineation there for us to use as a plumb line. If it's stealing, killing, or destroying, it's the enemy. Now, things were different in the Old Covenant, but God wasn't different. How do you know that he wasn't different? Because he said, I'm the Lord, I don't change. Micah 3. I don't change. And I'm God, I don't lie. I don't give it to you one way today and a different way tomorrow, and you never know which end is up, like people do. There's another scripture that says, let God be true and every man a liar, if that's the way it has to be. Fortunately, there's some who aren't, because they speak the word and believe the word, and they won't vary off of the word, so that makes them truthful. But there are a lot of liars and deceivers, and we don't want to be fooled by them, and God doesn't want us fooled by them. So Jesus says, come. I didn't finish reading that. Let me go back. Learn of me, he says. Matthew 11. You don't have to go back there. Just hold your place there in 2 Corinthians. But I neglected to read you all of it. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Are you fatigued? Are you loaded up like a mule? Burdened down, loaded up with more than you can carry. Jesus said, come to me. I will give you rest. David got a vision of this. The Lord is my shepherd, he wrote. I won't lack any good thing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, untroubled waters, undisturbed waters. He restores my soul. Jesus said, come to me. You know, I know that sounds so simple, y'all, but that's a warrior's privilege. The king says, when it gets too heavy out there, come here. Come home. Come talk it over with the king. Let's change the strategy. Let's see what we can do. You're not going to lose this battle as long as I'm king. Come home. Come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus said. This is in red. You can take this to the bank. This is an invitation, and it's just as much to you today as it was to the people who were then within the hearing of his voice, natural voice then. Learn from me, he said, for I'm gentle. That means humble, lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and that easy there means useful. My yoke's useful. A yoke just partnered up two animals, usually oxen or mules. You've seen that. A wooden piece that went across the backs of both to cause them to have to, when one moved, the other one had to go, or else it was a tug of war. Jesus says, so what he's saying here is partner up with me. He's not saying I want to bind you up. He's saying, let me be the lead here. Come follow me. I'll do the pulling. You walk with me. Take my yoke on you, for it's useful, and my burden is light. In other words, join me, Jesus said. Okay. So, our weaponry is very different from natural weaponry. We're in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We turn the other cheek. We turn the cheek of a warrior, and then it's on. Because then God gets involved. But as long as we're trying to do it in our own strength, we wear ourselves out and lose the fight. But if we understand that the victory is already ours, then we're not fighting for a victory. We're seated with Jesus, the scripture teaches me, in heavenly places already. That's our perspective. I know physically we're in earth, but we're joint heirs with Jesus. So we're really looking from victory into the things that surround us in earth. Because Jesus, as he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory, if you will, executing the will of God in the earth, just the way Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, in earth as it is in heaven. And he didn't start that prayer, my Father. He started that prayer, our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Our Father. Okay? Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not temporary or carnal or natural or of the body, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down means demolition. A stronghold is like a castle. It's like a fortified holding place for safety, where principalities have locked themselves in places of authority in our life, and they've got a stronghold. They're holed up there, and they think they rule us. We can demolish those strongholds in our lives and the lives of others. Jesus said it this way. He got it out of Isaiah 61, but he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is in Luke 4, I believe. Let's see if it's 4:18. Somebody check me out so I won't give a wrong reference. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And then he goes on to list the things that he's anointed him to do. Is that there? Am I in the right place? Well, then let me just read it. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He's anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. And that doesn't mean financially poor only. We're talking spirit here. Those who are poor in spirit, Jesus said they're blessed. Because they know they don't have it all together. They need a rescuer. They need a deliverer. And they know it. They're humble in spirit. I've come to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. There you go. And the recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty. And that can be spiritual sight as well as physical sight. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the gospel. This is why Jesus came. And the same anointing that was on Jesus, the head of the church, is on his body, the church. We are his body. This is why we're here. And it's all about somebody else. It's not about us. Jesus said, and this is a hard one to believe, but he said this, of myself I can do nothing. But I do what I see my Father do, and I judge by what I hear my Father say. I think that's John 5:20. Let me give it to you. I don't like for you to just hear me say Jesus said and not know where to go look for it yourself, because I think when you find it for yourself and you highlight it, then when you see it again, it can become yours. Is that right? 5:30? Yeah. John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. There's the ultimate creed of a warrior right there, and Jesus said it. He said it again in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, remember those words, not my will, but your will be done. That's the heart of a warrior right there. So we're pulling down strongholds, setting captives free. And one of those captives may be myself. Bringing down those fortified cities and not letting the fact that they're fortified, and then there might be giants standing around them guarding them, stop me. Because God said I could have it. It's a promise. And then casting down arguments or imaginations. Casting down means lowering them or demolishing them. And imaginations are like reasonings. Well, Jane, I know the Bible says that. But, I mean, don't you know what's going on? I mean, do you really think that's what God meant? Well, gracious me. When Jesus said it, and it's recorded in red, and it's as plain as can be, yes, I think that's what God meant. Yeah, well, some of the things Jesus said, I mean, Jane, surely you don't think that that's for us today. I don't see any place that it stopped. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, we're going to look at something he said tonight that's really amazing. Promise. If you can get past your natural head to believe it. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just can't wrap my mind around that? Well, of course you can't. Quit trying. You'll stretch it plumb thin. You can't wrap your mind around God. But he's wrapped his around you and me. It isn't reasonable. It isn't reasonable when an army of 20,000 defeats an army of 1,000,000 with hailstones that fall out of the sky or a wall that falls down and kills like 27,000 of them, the enemy. That's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to walk around, to march around a fortified city called Jericho for 7 days, and the walls come tumbling down, as we sing, on the seventh day. It's not reasonable to expect however many thousands of Jews to walk around and be quiet for 7 days. And seven times on the seventh day. That's not reasonable. They can't do that. Oh, yes, they can. It's not reasonable to defeat an army with a candle or a torch, a clay pot, and a trumpet. But the enemy can turn on themselves and destroy themselves when God says do it that way. God doesn't have to be reasonable. He's right. It's not reasonable for a man to walk on water. It's not reasonable for the Red Sea to part. It's not reasonable for Joshua to say, I need more time, God. There's still some of them out there and we haven't finished them off and it's getting dark. Sun, stand still. Moon, hold up here. I need more time to do God's will. And God honored it. That's not reasonable. You don't just stop the whole operation of the earth and solar system. But God doesn't know that. A virgin can't have a child without knowing a man sexually. And then she's not a virgin anymore. But God doesn't know that. Mary even submitted to that. And she had natural thoughts about it. How can this happen? I haven't had sexual relationships with a man. And Gabriel explained it to her. I'm sure she didn't have the theological background to get all that. But she said, behold, look, the handmaid of the Lord. I've heard these prophetic words before. I'm familiar that there's a Messiah coming. And if I'm the one who's honored to bring him into earth, so be it unto me according to your word. And she conceived. That's not reasonable. But it happened. What's not reasonable in your world, warrior? Because Jesus said, and here goes another one, all things are possible with God if you can believe. God said, what's too difficult for me? What army is too big for me? Why, I've reserved stuff in the heavens that can take care of any of it. Or I can just breathe a breath, and with a blast from my mouth or my nostrils, I can wipe them out. What do you need? And then bigger than you, what does somebody else need, warrior? Why are you here? Why am I here? We're going to get where we need to be if we can get hold of what's in this message tonight. This is a different way of thinking. A warrior mentality is not reasonable. You can have an arrow sticking through your heart and keep fighting in the spirit. One of Satan's fiery arrows could have pierced you. It got through somehow. You know it has happened. It's happened to all of us. But you can keep fighting in the spirit, because it's not a natural fight. And it's not your life that's on the line. It's His life that's on the line. And the life of God's in you. You're already eternal, warriors. If you're born again, you're already eternal. You just live in a body right now. And this body will eventually be put down to rest, because it can't be in the presence of God. It can't stand the presence of God naturally. So we'll get a new body, a glorified body. But your born-again spirit is already eternal. You won't need a new one of those. You've already got it if you're born again. And we are. So, be of good cheer, because you are overcoming warriors if you want to be. But I'm going to lay out some of the things it's going to require of us, because we need to know how to go about this. A warrior is so fiercely loyal to the king that his mentality is victory for the king. Not a rogue warrior who's R-O-G-U-E, who's out doing his own thing to get his territory. No, a warrior, a loyal warrior is dedicated to increasing the territory of his king, which is what Jesus was praying when he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Increased your territory through me. And so we think differently, and that makes us unacceptable in some circles, but that's okay. When they need help and they see you demonstrating the will of God in earth, they may come receive your help eventually. And even if they don't, without faith it's impossible to please God. So who are we going to please? Man, woman, others, or God? If I'm pleasing God and you don't like it, then talk to Him. I just turned my warrior cheek, and you got an issue with Him, not me. Okay? You with me? All right, good. Casting down arguments, reasonings, computations, cast those down. It doesn't work out on paper. It works out when it comes to life, though, off these pages. If you do the math through the Old Testament of the wars and the numbers in the armies, it doesn't work out on paper. There shouldn't even be a natural geographical Israel anymore. But God said it would be. He said, "Israel's mine, I'll defend them. And whoever attacks them is my enemy." And guess what? Superpowers or no superpowers, that little dot on the map is still here. Because God said it would be. That's why. And casting down arguments and every high thing, A high thing is something of an elevated place or a barrier. Lowering those things. Every high thing that exalts itself or raises up against the knowledge of God. Well, how am I going to know if it's raising up against the knowledge of God? I have to have the knowledge of God. I have to know the Word. I have to know by the Spirit the Word. Because I can flip these pages and I can say, listen to me, devil. And I can read him a quote right out of here and he'll laugh me to scorn. Unless I know it's God and I know my authority in Jesus. And I'm speaking words of inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And then he has to flee. So I'm not talking about memorizing Scripture, although that's wonderful. Or quoting Scripture, although that's wonderful too in the right context and settings. But just because you can quote the devil's Scripture doesn't mean he's going to flee. Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? When they said, well, we're going to cast some of those devils out if that's the way you do it. In the name of Jesus, come out. And the demons spoke back to these guys and said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. Who are you? And they jumped on them and stripped them naked and beat them up. Because they spoke of what they did not know. Now that's kind of scary to me in a way. Because here's what I mean by scary. There's a place in the Scripture where Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. These were church-going people, if you can let me use that language, our language. They said, well we did this, we did that, we did all these things, look at all the stuff we did in your name. Well, the name works. There's authority in the name. There's no denying that. But Jesus said, you never got to know me. I never got to know you. I don't know you. You never had time for me. I know, but I've got an eternity now. Not with me, you don't. Because I never knew you. We don't have a relationship. And we certainly never had fellowship. And we never had intimacy. Yes, you did works. But when Jesus came to earth, there was a transition that took place. Old things were passed away. The law was fulfilled when he was crucified. He hung his body in payment for sin on a cross and was cursed for us so that we don't have to pay the price of that debt. We couldn't. And the transition was from the external to the internal. And this is what we're talking about now. So the works and the external rules and regulations and washings and cleansings and sacrifices and observances and all those things that they were to do under the law, Jesus said, changes come. If you love God and love others as yourself, you have fulfilled the law. And you're not married to it anymore because I have fulfilled it. So it's a totally different way of thinking, and that's what I mean by warrior's mentality. So it's casting down reasonings and casting down high things that come and arise against your knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. And the thought here is a perception or a purpose or an intellect. You know, some people are so intellectual that when they can't wrap their mind around something in the Scriptures, they can't understand it. They're blinded by their own intelligence because they can't just have the faith of a child and say, I don't understand it, but I don't have to. God said it, And I'm gonna accept it by faith because God said it. And if I never understand it, that'll be okay. Because when Jesus comes, he's going to find faith in me. And that won't be about my intellect. It'll be about my heart. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And obedience there is an attentive hearkening. In other words, I heard it and I intend to obey it. Did you ever have your dad or your mom say, "You better listen to me. You better listen." Well, that didn't just mean hear with your ear. It meant hear and do. Right? Listen to me meant do what I'm telling you. You hear it, but you better do it. Well, that's what this is talking about. You hear it, and we better do it. An attentive hearkening, like I'm complying to this. I'm submitting to this. I hear you, Lord. Being in readiness, and that's like prepared and fit, to vindicate or punish all disobedience, and that's inattentiveness in yourself, not in somebody else. You can't do this for somebody else. When your obedience is complete, okay? So that tells me that I'm in process of reprogramming my thinking. Our spirit can be born again. Joy and I were just talking about this afternoon. I think it was you. But if we aren't renewing our mind, if we're not reprogramming our thinking according to this word and adjusting and adapting our thoughts and bringing down those intellectual things that have held us captive and making them comply with what God's word says and bringing them into subjection to the word of God and capturing those thoughts that arise and exalt themselves against what I know to be true about God. If I'm not renewing my mind to the word of God, I can't be a warrior. Because I'm going to be tossed about by everything I see. And when the battle gets hot, I'm going to faint. Because I'm not thinking right. I'm not thinking like the king taught me to think. And if I don't even know what the king said, if I've never listened to him, how can I expect to be a warrior? So a warrior's mentality takes the king at his word. And knows that when he goes about doing the business of the king, he has the whole kingdom backing him. And the victory is already secure. And the king is worth it. It's a time for a break, isn't it? Wow. Well, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll look at some more scripture. I see warriors in my heart, in this room. Who can find a virtuous woman? Forceful. Right kind of force. Force of God woman. Not in-your-face force, domineering and, you know, overbearing. That's not forceful. That's just mean. A woman of influence for God. Who can find one? God can. He's found a whole room full. And I'm excited about where we're going with this, but we're not going in without knowing what we're enlisting for. The long haul of military service. That's the deal. If we're going to really yoke up with Jesus. Okay?